Well, choir, I was convicted by your song, and I must share. Thank you.
You must share.
Manya, you have to share too. Now, you don't need to spend a lot of time. You can't eat it until after the service. Our Old Testament lesson comes from the prophet Malachi, chapter 3, verses 6 through 18. But before I read that, today we're going to talk about tithing. I'm not going to do this, but if I asked everyone who tithes to put their hands up, some people would be embarrassed because their hands would not be up. Now, I'm not going to do that. I pray, though, that as we hear God's word, that we allow the Holy Spirit to convict us. Please pray with me. Lord, please soften our hearts and open our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may hear with joy what you say to us this day. Amen. Again, the prophet Malachi chapter 3. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will see again the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. This again is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The Old Testament prophecies prove that Jesus is God the Son. In fact, the whole Bible is the account of God's activity in the world to restore people to a right relationship with God through the salvation from sin that Jesus provides through his death and resurrection. I have found in reading both the Old Testament and the New Testament that there are all sorts of accounts of how God's chosen people have responded to God. Sometimes they rejected God by rejecting his promises and disobeying his commands. Sometimes they rejected God in order to do what they thought was best. Sometimes they returned to God after having fallen away. They returned to God with contrite hearts, ready to trust and obey God once again, ready to be fully devoted followers. And as I read through the Bible, I found that's a cycle that repeats itself with the people of God over and over through the ages. In fact, that cycle still repeats itself today. I said last week that God does not change, God's word does not change, and the Bible is still relevant today. We're not so very different from the people of God in the Bible. God is still working the world, and God is still working in the lives of people around us to bring us back into a right relationship with himself. God is indeed working through us in the lives of other people to bring them back into a right relationship with God. We respond to God the same way that people have responded to God through the ages. Often, our response is one of devotion and commitment and loyalty at first. And then we fall back into the old habits and attitudes and patterns. We sin. We are disobedient. We turn the Ten Commandments into 10 suggestions. We pay attention to the nice promises of God and we ignore the commands and the warnings from God. In the midst of it all, God still assures us of his love, of his promise of forgiveness, of his presence with us. He still promises to forgive us when we confess our sins and repent. God commands us to turn wholeheartedly to Him. Throughout the Bible, throughout the years, over and over again, God has worked to help His chosen people see the destructive path they were on when they rebelled and rejected Him. God warned them of the consequences of their separation from Him. Sometimes they listened, sometimes they didn't. Sometimes only one or two people listened. Sometimes God's chosen people as a group were sent into captivity with foreign nations until they returned to God with an attitude of obedience to the one true living God. Continuing through the Bible, we find that eventually God came personally to earth in the person of Jesus to pay the price and to bear the consequences of our sins, that through the sacrifice of Jesus, we can be restored to a right relationship with God and go to heaven when we die. This is all because God loves us so much that He would rather die than go on living without us. The context of today's scripture has to do with us returning to God in a right attitude of worship, of obedience, of trusting God with everything we have, of our trusting God with our hopes and our dreams and our love. It's a wholehearted, heartfelt relationship with the one true living God. Malachi was the last prophet under the Old Covenant, and Malachi had been given the privilege of the last word of the Old Testament. It would be the last word from God for the next 400 years. Through all the prophets in the Bible and through Malachi, God issued His warning to His people against their hypocrisy and also reminded God's chosen people about God's never-ending covenant promise and love for them. Malachi made sure that God's people knew that their words and their lives had to match, or else they would be hypocrites. That's true for us. Everything that we do or say or choose to dwell on is either an act of worship toward God or an act of rebellion against God. Read the book of Malachi. Malachi goes down through the list of everything that God's people had been doing that was displeasing to God. Malachi gave clear instructions on how to match the word of God's law that they had heard with lives of integrity and attitudes of worship. God's people heard the warning that when God's judgment came, there would be no more secrets. There would be no hiding behind false pretenses or good intentions. That message is for us too. They also heard very clearly, and they heard with joy in their hearts, that God promises forgiveness. Malachi 3:6 says, "Return to me, and I will return to you." It's a decision that each one of us have to make today. As you consider what you've learned and what you have experienced about the extent of God's love for you and the price of God's investment in your eternity, how do you respond to God? If you had to identify what you do to show the most important part of your faith, your bottom line, what would it be? What is it that you do to demonstrate before God that you trust Him? In-person worship, involvement in the life of the church, those are important. Prayer life, personal devotion, Bible study, essential. Treating others the way Christ treats you, that's a huge part of demonstrating your trust in God. Then Malachi hit people where it hurts. He got personal, and he started meddling. He hit their bottom line, and he hit ours too. Malachi hit them in their wallets. The fact of the matter is, the people were not tithing. A tithe is not a gift to God. If you owe somebody money and you pay them, you are not giving them a gift. You are simply meeting an obligation. That's why God declared through Malachi that the people were robbing him in tithes and offerings. The people were not meeting their obligation to God by tithing. God says the same thing to us when we don't tithe. You are robbing me in tithes and offerings. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Those are God's words. Malachi tied finances and faith together. That's getting personal. Malachi's words still clobber us today. How can we trust God with something as precious as our eternal souls if we refuse to trust God with a tithe of just 10% of our income? I want to share a few Bible-based facts on tithing. First of all, a tithe is not giving money to the poor. A tithe is giving money, 10%, to the church where you worship. Number two, giving money beyond your tithe is called alms. That's the Bible term. Giving alms includes giving to the poor, to charitable organizations, to missionaries. We are not called to split our tithe and give some to the church and some to these other organizations or groups. God tells us through Malachi to give our whole tithe to God, and then we can give these other organizations and other people money that is in addition to our 10% tithe. And number three, a thank offering is like a tip, extra money, that we give to say thank you to God. Deuteronomy 16:16-17 says, and I quote, "No man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord has blessed you." So a thank offering is a way of saying thank you to God for hearing our prayers, for providing for us all that we have. And the New Testament reminds us that whatever we give, we should give joyfully and without complaining or feeling a grudge in our heart. We should always give, trusting and expecting God to continue to provide for our needs. The prophet Malachi gives us insight into God's attitude towards the use of the money and all of the possessions that God provides for us. God's attitude is that everything we have already belongs to God. It's God's first, and God provides it to us. It's not ours. The tithe is the reminder that whatever we receive from God. And so that makes everything a gift from God. The whole point of Malachi's message was to pull people back into a right relationship, a sincere relationship with God. It's designed to bring us back into a right and sincere relationship with God too. Malachi warns us about our religious indifference and that sometimes our worship is simply going through the motions or a chore to check off of our list every week. God says through Malachi that the proof of our indifference or our commitment is shown in our giving. Malachi warned the people of robbing God by not giving their tithes and their offerings to the house of God, and Malachi reminded them of God's promise to provide for them abundantly beyond what they could ever think or imagine as they trusted God with their first fruits, with the 10% of their income, 10% that was to be used for the support and the ministry of the temple. God loves you. God loves you so much. He has your name written on his hand. He's invested himself in you. Jeremiah 29:11, another prophet of the Old Testament, tells us that God's plan for you is for good and not for evil, to give you hope and a future. God loves you. God provides for you simply because he's God and he loves you, and he gives you a whole lot more than a little Starburst piece of candy. So knowing that fact and standing on the promise from God should fill us with the joy and the confidence in the abundant provision of the Almighty God who cares for you personally. Malachi teaches us that no matter what our circumstances, we have no excuse not to tithe. God knows our circumstances, and God does not and will not allow our circumstances to get so bad that we cannot obey God's commands, even the command of tithing. According to Malachi, we are to use that tithe, that 10%, to God's glory and not for our own personal gain. There's God calling. If we don't tithe, then we stand accused of robbing God like Israel. Israel was guilty of withholding from God that which rightly belonged to God. The people of Israel defended themselves. And they defended themselves with many of the same excuses that we use today. And God goes on to say that the reason that they are lacking, the reason they are impoverished, the reason that they are going without is because they are not bringing their tithes and offerings to God. God's word doesn't change. And God's word is still relevant today. God understands fixed incomes. God understands unemployment and the minimum wage. God understands mortgage payments and high credit card bills and alimony and child support. God understands the expenses that come with unexpected medical bills and providing for loved ones. God understands the need for groceries and paying utility bills and paying for school and cars and insurance. God understands. And God promises to provide for us when we tithe. As a church, God understands when we become an older congregation and we don't have a lot of kids here with us. God understands when our worldly politics threaten to infiltrate the church and distract us from following God and distract us from our mission to honor God. God understands when our attendance starts to decline and people are more inclined to watch from home than be here in person. God understands. God's not surprised. God promises to provide for us and bless us. If what? If we tithe. Wake up and smell the coffee. The bottom line of the Old Testament is also the bottom line of the New Testament and is the bottom line of the health of the church today. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Incidentally, this is the only place in the Bible where God not only allows us, but actually invites us to put them to the test. It's almost like God is saying, make my day. Call my bluff. See what happens when you tithe. I want you to imagine with me just for a moment. Imagine God blessing you personally so much that other people will notice God's blessing in your life and ask you about it, and you have the opportunity then to tell them about God and his promises and his commands, and that anyone can trust Jesus with their life. Start tithing. That's my financial tip to you. That's also my spiritual tip to you. Now imagine again. Can you imagine God blessing our church so much that people will notice and come to our church and give us the opportunity to brag about God being good for his word and blessing us with the floodgates of heaven being opened up? Can you imagine? Tithing is important because where our heart is, that's where our treasure is. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. In Matthew 13, Jesus describes heaven as a treasure hidden in a field or like a fabulous pearl. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is of such great value that we should be willing to give up everything we have in order to gain it. We can't buy heaven with money or good deeds. The only way for us to gain entrance into heaven is by accepting for ourselves as individuals the salvation from sin that Jesus offers to every person. Jesus invested his whole life into our salvation. Jesus thinks you are of such value that he was willing to give up his status in heaven, come to this earth as a servant, and give up his life in order to make it possible for us to be with him forever. But the question each one of us have to decide for ourselves: is Jesus' love for you worth dedicating all that you are and all that you have to God's glory for the rest of your days on earth? Do you trust him? Are you willing to start dedicating yourself to Christ by giving 10% of your treasure to the church where you attend? If you're hesitant about making that commitment, think about this. How can you trust Jesus with something so valuable as your eternal soul and at the same time not trust him with 10% of your earnings? Your investment in the life and ministry of this church matters for two reasons. First of all, you will be obedient to God as an individual by tithing. And second, you are helping this congregation be obedient to God so that we can follow Jesus' mandate to make disciples. Our job as a church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ and to reach out into our communities and into the world with the love and the grace and the message of Christ's love, so that people can come into a right relationship with Christ. God is looking for reverence from us toward himself. God is looking for obedience from us toward himself in all of the aspects of our lives. I read a story one time about a father who was teaching his young daughter about tithing. I would guess she was about 4 years old. And the father put 10 stacks of coins on his desk, and he called her into his room. And together they counted out the stacks of coins, 1, 2, 3, all the way up to 10. And then the father said, "This one stack belongs to God." And he pushed the other 9 stacks off to the side. And he said, "These are ours." And the daughter looked at him in horror and said, "Daddy, are we going to keep all of that for ourselves and just give that little bit to God?" God is looking for us to demonstrate our trust in Him to provide for us in all the aspects of our lives, and especially in our finances. God simply wants us to believe in Him, to trust Him, to give ourselves to Him, and to come to learn beyond any doubt that we cannot outgive God. It simply can't be done. God loves you so much. God's grace is so great. Through Jesus, God supplies all of our needs according to His glorious riches. He guides us, He strengthens us, He rewards us, He claims back only a tiny little bit. God actually invites us to put Him to the test. He dares us. God says, "Test me in this." It's like God is saying, "Prove whether I am no longer holy and righteous. Prove whether I no longer keep my promises. Prove me. Put me to the test." That's all I have to say about that. Glory to God. Amen.